That's the first thing I see about Afrobeats, like all around the world. I'm like, it's a spirit first. Like, it is the Afro spirit. But now is the time to even educate the world more on what we have and like what light we bring. Because now the whole attention is on us.
People ask me where I get all my energy from. From the stage, to the studio, and to my desk. I am the energy god. And you can be one too.
You're listening to Adeshokpe Live. The Afrobeats Podcast.
Check. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, to another edition of Adeshokpe Live, the official Afrobeats Podcast, where we break down the hottest topics within the culture. And once in a while, I'm joined by a superstar to break it down with me one-on-one. As always, this is brought to you by the Energy God Energy Drink. Drink and be yourself. Stay energized. For us, by us, visit energygod.com and place your orders. And if you haven't subscribed yet, what are you waiting for? Click the subscription button right now. Let's get our numbers going up, because the bigger our platform gets, the better we're in position to promote our own people without having to wait or beg for others to do so. Joining me in the studio is a superstar out of Lagos, Nigeria. This brother's name is ringing around the world right now, multi-million plaques on the wall, super producer, super hit maker. It's interesting, now when we mention his name, some people even forget the fact that this is a monster producer. But now he's just a lover boy singer. Give it up for the incredible Fuse, Mr. Producer. Does anybody say that anymore?
Nah, I mean, some people still say that, but it's going still. Update your OS too.
Now, one of the things I was thinking about a couple of days ago is, when we mention Fields now, for a lot of people, even including myself, the first image that comes to the front of my memory is the singer. You've done a very good job over the last 3 years of kind of like transforming from behind the scenes in the studio to now the front man as a singer. Was that a calculated assault, or that was just part of the business whilst you were promoting yourself and the songs?
I think it was calculated for me, because this is who I've always been. Like, I've always been the artist. I've always been behind the microphone. I might not be in the limelight all those years, but I've always been like vocal about, you know, my voice and like my music abilities. But coming to the limelight was, you know, intentional, and was God's doing as well, because I don't know everything. I don't feel on all this one by myself now, you understand? Yeah. So, I mean, all glory to God, man, to be very honest. And you know, now that we are here to stay.
First of all, a question that I think I had spoken to your manager once about, but I haven't had the opportunity to catch up with you. The hit single came, you know, big spotlight. You're in studio with Dr. Dre, you're in studio with Usher, you're performing on thousands, in front of thousands of people in Ghana, traveling the world. You're now an LA, almost like an LA resident / Miami resident, straight out of Nigeria. Boom, one record completely transformed your status. How has that been from the inside looking out? How did that whole change? How did that affect you?
Man, it feels like a movie, man. Like, that's the only way I can describe it. It's like a script. Like, I'm just watching it all play out. At first, it was weird for me mentally, because it was so fast. Like, it was like, you know when they put you in catapult and they just shoot you? Like, everywhere was just blurry. It was just, today I was here, tomorrow I was at the O2, next tomorrow I was in front of, like, I was at BET stage, like, I was with Dr. Dre, I was with Pharrell. It was just going so fast. Like, I couldn't really take a break to catch my breath. But then when I finally paused and, like, look at everything that God has done for me, man, like, there was just this huge wave of gratitude that just, for lack of a better word, attacked me. You understand? Because I just, till now, I still don't understand how all this is happening. I'm just living my life. I'm just making my music. Like, and it's just beautiful to see, like, because a lot of people told me I shouldn't. And a lot of people told me I couldn't. Like
some people said you shouldn't, some said you could.
Yeah, like it was crazy. And
it took a lot of self-belief to take that step, because, you know, being a producer of so many hits, having made a name for myself, it's not even talk, it's facts. I mean, like, I don't need to explain evidence, you understand? Like, to, like, now trying to show the world that I can do this, because a lot of people thought it was for the money, but no, it was for self-fulfillment. It was for purpose for me, like, because I know this is who I am. Like, I might have been too, for lack of a better word, scared to, you know, confront the camera back then, but, like, the moment I step into my bag, I step into my bag, and I was, you know, and showing the world that was like swimming against the current. But when you have God at your, you know, God on your back, the grind, nothing is impossible, man.
As a young producer then, you were a teenager in the studio with Olamide and mm-hmm. co-cooking. Even though you were making those beats and you had these dreams, what are the kind of dreams that people like yourself? Like, what do you sit down and think when the artist is recording whilst you're saying, no, I need you to increase your vocals? Do you, during those moments as well, just imagine yourself in front of that microphone? Maybe
Yeah, I do. So, and sometimes I'm like, I'm sure if I sing this song, I'll sing it better than this guy. And sometimes I'm just like, I wish you can see what I'm seeing with this song. Like, I wish the song was, I wish I was you. I wish I was the artist. Like, then you understand. Like, then I can show you what this song should become. You get, in a way. But yeah, it was a lot of daydreaming back then. Like, just daydreaming, man. Just imagining what would be or what could be. And I'm on Shopsy, but the gratitude.
What would you say? Because there's a lot of, like, there are a lot of young producers in that position whose ultimate dream or ultimate goal is one day now become a Fields, who transformed from just a creator to now an expressor, someone that's expressing that. But they are also being held back by fears, naysayers, and non-believers. What would you say to those young kids right now?
It will be fighting your fears is a daily battle. I'm not going to sit down here in front like I have it all figured out. But do it scared anyways. Like, as long as you just keep showing up. Like, if you are scared, if you are shitting yourself, if you are afraid, do it regardless. That's all that matters. It is in the doing that you become stronger, not in the running away. You understand? Right. So confront your fears and just, you never know, man. What's on the other side of that fear might just blow your mind. So just show up every day.
Now, I saw you, we mentioned Dr. Dre, which was like crazy for us. We're all going mental. You gave him a name. He was talking about that. Yeah. And the next thing I got was a video of you in the studio with another icon, an incredible legend that shaped the music world in Timbaland. Now, talk to me how you even end up in the studio with Timbaland. Do you get a phone call? Is this orchestrated? It's, you know, what how does this happen?
Man, like I said, Shopsy, man, like, it's a movie. I swear. I feel like I'm living in a film. I swear, man, like, because I'm in Miami and I'm just Miami, like, chilling, trying to get some content in as well, just resting. And then I think Sifo linked me up with Timbaland and told Timbaland that, like, I was in town, and I think they just gave him my number and he called you. Yeah. And they're like, yo, Timbaland is gonna call you, he's gonna get you in the studio, or he wants to meet up. I'm like, okay, no problem. He called me, I was like, yo, and then we just started geeking out on, like, producer stuff, like, oh, what DAW do you use, what plugins do you use, like, what software do you use to produce, and, like, and then in my head, I'm like, this is Timbaland, this is me. And we're just yanning like he's one of my guys in Mushin. Like, and yeah, man, then we linked up in the studio and, you know, I played the next EP.
Oh, you played the whole tape?
Yeah, I played the whole tape for him.
Oh.
And he was just dumbfounded, man. He was just lost of words, man. And someone always says, once Timbaland starts stammering, you know you have something. And he was and he was stammering all throughout.
I saw the clip. The clip I saw was when he was talking about your sound and talking about the next level Afro beats and what that would be. What's that like when, you know, someone so iconic with music starts to break down your sound and is excited about where you're taking the music to?
Mind you, to me, Timbaland is not only someone so iconic in the music. He's literally one of the reasons I started producing, period. Like, that was literally, he's one of the people that, you know, I looked up to growing up as a producer. I would literally copy his beats and try to sound like him, like, wow, back then, growing up. So to have him now, like, look at my sound and, like, say those crazy words and in a way see me, because I feel like from a producer to a producer, he saw what I was trying to do and he saw like what I was trying to accomplish. And to have someone of that like status, not even in the game or in music, just to me, like personally, say that to me, it was like a stamp of like approval, like, yo, like, you're doing this, you're doing something right and God is with you, and like, you wouldn't be experiencing all this if this is not your path. So, you know, forget the naysayers, forget anybody that says you don't belong here, and just stick to the process. This is your thing. You are here. You are meant to be here. And you are the future.
Listen, one of the records you played for him was, of course, the single that was released, Ngolo.
Yeah.
You got to dance for it. It's interesting that now all the cool guys are not scared to dance. What's going on, man?
Well, for me, it's just embrace your cringe. Like, I'm not embrace your full cringe.
I like that.
I don't care anymore what like anyone thinks, man, or what they need. Like, just have fun with life. There's no destination. Yeah, everything is in the process. So enjoy the process and just keep it going. Show up every day. If we are dancing today, we are dancing. If we are singing tomorrow, we are singing. If we are gymming next tomorrow, we are gymming.
We're
going.
Listen, Golo, simple when we're talking about a dance routine, or if you're telling people to just dance within the African culture, Golo is always one of those. Mm-hmm. Talk to me about that record. What was the inspiration behind it? Why was that pretty much almost like the lead single, right?
Something of sorts. It was, I see Golo as commercial break. For me, it was like, this is a commercial break. Just take some, come here. It's like, it's like appetizer for what is to come.
Yeah.
And for me, I just wanted people to dance as well. Like, I just felt like at that point in time, I felt like this is what, like, the world should hear from me now. Like, just dance and go low and vibrate higher. Like, forget everything that you're going through.
Just
because the world lately is like crap, man. And like, people need to have fun. So that's what Golo is about, just having fun. And that's why I did the dance as well. Like, this is me having fun. Have fun with me too. Like, let's have some fun together. Leave all your worries first, because you'll go pick them up tomorrow. But for now, for like this 2 minute, 30 seconds that this song is going to play, let's have some fun.
Now, musically, we already know that you're a creator, you're a producer, you're a singer. Some people might not know that artistically, you've also been involved from day one with visual art and all sorts of creative art that we've come to see when we're looking at, for example, the old YBNL stuff, and then obviously you, the Tribe. But when I'm looking at Golo, the dance routine, how involved was Fields in the creation of that dance?
Let me do the dance. Let me give them. I'm on my MJ steez. Don't worry. I'm on my MJ steez, man. MJ Fulio.
Now, 2024 started. For me, I think 2023 ended with a surprise when we caught up in Rwanda and you had played me some records and you said, you know, you might be coming on a record with Usher.
Yeah.
So I'm there just like anybody close to you, just praying, because we know how these things go with the big name thing. Like, just praying that this is the final cut, this comes out, all of that. And then fast forward, you know, boom, you're on Usher's lead single, you're on the album, we see you at his Las Vegas performance, him shouting you out. Now, Usher is one of the greatest musicians, not only of this generation, but
in music,
period.
Yeah.
And the most consistent when it comes to music. He has not taken a break. He's been consistent with it, and he's done it at the highest level since 1993 or something like that. We know you guys connected during Finesse, but that connection carried on for him, not only trusting you to produce for him, collaborate with him, and co-write alongside him. Let's talk about those three opportunities with one of the greatest musicians that ever lived.
Man, hearing you say it like that,
that's one of the problems we have. Like, we don't really talk about specifically the importance of certain steps that change not only individual lives, but also change the culture as a whole. That's a celebration for everybody. You co-wrote alongside a GOAT, you produced for a GOAT, and you collaborated on the lead single. Talk to me about that, particularly with Usher and everything that's been going on with that man in recent times.
First off, for me, that whole process was and is still a learning process for me, because I got to see someone operate, and I got to operate with him at the highest level, you know, possible in music, like, you know, the highest studios, the highest, like, projects, like that. And I just understood one. This is the first thing that I understood is your idols are human. Mm. And I don't mean that in like a negative way. I mean that in the most possible way possible. Like, for me, I'm looking at Usher and I'm like, I know he got here because of what I can do as well. Mm. So for him to get here, I can get there as well. Mm. You get me? Like, he's human.
Yeah.
Like, I'm human too. Like, I can do it. And like, and there was a conversation we had where it was just giving me advice and just telling me about like the future and how like the spotlight can like, how unconsciously you can be like shy of the spotlight and like
just takes you away.
And just takes you away. And you know, he was just telling me to just stay grounded. So like the whole process of recording and making the song and writing the song and producing the beats was just a whole learning process for me, because I was just soaking in as many information.
How long as did I can you spend with him during that production time and creative time? Was it like a camp?
No, it wasn't like a camp. It was like few sessions. So the first person I had met was Ellie Reed.
Hey!
Because...
Go and do your Googles immediately. I don't even want to get into that.
Because Ellie Reed told me about the album. It was like, yo, we're working on an album for Usher. And I'm like, okay, get me into the studio. Let me see. Based on Fuse, Mr. Producer.
Come on.
Carry me into the studio. Make I see if I people one or two together. So, you know, I was in the studio then. I made Coming Home. That's the one with Burna Boy.
That's the lead sing. Yeah. That's the title.
That's
the
title
album.
Of the album. Yeah. And I wrote that as well. So
you
I played it for So I played it for, you know, Ellie Reed. He loved it. He called Usher immediately. He was like, yo, there's this record you need to record, you need to drop. You know, Usher pulled up, I think, the next day, and then we recorded it in Vegas. So when we recorded Coming Home, and I saw how like crazy everybody's going. Me, and I remembered one song I'd already recorded a year before in South Africa with my friend Manana. That's the Ruin song. Because I made that for like my own album.
Just your own.
Now Breakfast inspired that one. It was after my ex broke my heart that I write that song. So I wrote it.
When
like,
you already fused the main Finesse superstar.
No, this was before Finesse.
Yeah, so you were still in the studio. Breakfast was going to be a normal occurrence.
Buffet breakfast. But yeah, so I already had that song off of that experience. Mm. I already kept it. But then when I saw how they were reacting to Coming Home, I told Ellie Reed, I'm like, there's one more song I have though in the vault that I think will be perfect for this album. And I just played Ruin, and
in that same place,
everybody just went crazy. And then I'm like, and then they're like, okay, we need to talk about this song. And they just kept working. Go Low was written in that session, but I just never gave it to them.
and it would in your mind during recording.
Yeah,
stuff.
Like I wrote Golo for Usher. I'm like, this one have my people for Nigeria. We can put this one aside first.
So, as a producer and a singer, how do you decide what you're ready to give away for someone else? Because that must be hard.
I mean, I follow the fun. I follow my passion. I follow my inner compass. Like, that kind of decision, you know, if you use formula, decide, and you can't, it's not formulaic at all. It just depends on how you're feeling at that time, because no one knows. No one really knows what's going to become what. Like, at the end of the day, you as a creator, you as an artist, you just make what you feel like making, or you make how you feel. But the rest is up to the universe and God, you understand? Like, we make art that is subject to opinions, and opinions are relative.
Varied.
You can understand? So, like, I try to detach myself from what people will say or what people are saying. It's not easy, especially with the world of social media where everything is at our fingertips. You get me? But we are in a world where we as creatives, or we as artists, or we as Afrobeats artists, although some people try to distance themselves.
Hey, yo, I'm so happy to, I heard that from
to,
you.
We're not going to go there. But I just feel like we are in a business of making art for opinions, and we should understand that. And me, I just try to stay away from that and not make my art because of that. You get me? So whenever I'm making this or I'm doing that, I'm not thinking of
anything.
Because whether I draw, this one go like and this one no go like. If I draw like this, this one go still like and this one no go like. If I draw like this, so I rather just do what I feel. And
I made a decision recently, actually, that I am going to remove myself from when people drop albums or songs or projects where within a couple of hours I make the mistake of going online to say, oh, this is my thoughts about the album. I had to think deeply as a fan of you guys, as a fan of the culture, somebody that respects creators and the amount of effort and energy that goes into it. I just believe now that an instant judgment from someone's sweat and time is very disrespectful and does not show compassion.
I
thought about it. How could I decide?
Regardless of that, or of how you feel, judge not. Like there's a quote that I read one somewhere recently that said, "Be careful what you judge, because what you judge, you might one day become." So, like me, is that what you want to make? Is that what you made? Cool, which, fantastic. The fact that you can even make it, dupe lower, because there are a lot of people that couldn't even make it. Like, all these metrics, all these things that we are using to judge all these things, should be we are the one that set it ourselves.
It's crazy. Like, now controlling us.
We're now using to punish ourselves. Like, let the art breathe, man. Let the artist breathe.
Breathe. Now, one question I also wanted to ask. Now you're in the studio with Usher, right? He's recording. You weren't sure about that note. How do you turn on the microphone?
I mean, I told him more. But the first time that happened, I'm like, and I don't like this the way you do for how they tell her like this. But I just reached, because so you know on the mixer there's like a button where you press and you talk to the booth. The way I press that button, I'm like, broski, can we try that note?
That must be hard.
Can we? It wasn't hard, it was just Nami the Yano Shah, this guy has. I'm like, can we try that note again? He was like, oh yeah, bad man. He now said, he was like, yo, anything you don't like, let me know. I was like, I just brought lists. So this one on this place.
But the thing is, what do you learn from that? Where some of the greatest musicians are still available to take directions and guidance. What does a young feels take from that moment?
It's the humility of it. Like, he can say no to what I said and he will remain Usher.
Facts.
Do you understand? Like, but it's the humility of trusting a young person with your years of
experience
and saying, okay, this guy said I should do it like this. Let me do it like this. Like, it's a lot of... I feel like someone has to drop a lot of ego, especially someone of that status, to be able to accept that. And like that was such a beautiful moment for us, because that just made my respect for him grow like so crazy. And that was another thing I learned from Dr. Dre as well. Like, because we were in the studio like 3 days back to back
with Dr. Dre.
And in my head, I'm like, this is Dr. Dre. This is literally a billionaire in all the sense of the word. And he still grinds every day in the studio. Like he hasn't blown yet. Like, he's still in the studio. And he told me, he was like, Phil, I'm still in the studio every day. Like, you might not hear the song go, but that's not what matters.
We're cooking still.
The fact that this is my passion. This is what I am born to do. And I'll do this till the day I die. Like, that just, in my head, me, I'm just like, who am I? Who am I to stop? Who am I to rest? Who am I to be lazy now? What have I done? What have I accomplished? Yeah. If someone of that status and like that I looked up to almost all my life can still be grinding as if they have not achieved anything, then it just put my grind to like a whole new level mentally.
I know we just breezed past it a little bit, and you talked about it recently. I can't remember where I saw you talk about it. The word Afrobeats, how does it make you feel as an artist? And is it something that is, all of a sudden, some of us are starting to, some people feel scared to embrace that now. Are you one of those?
That feels scared to embrace. What is there to fear?
Whether he's going to box you in a corner or limit your reach as a creative, does it affect your business? Because we're not in some of the rooms that you guys are in. Yeah. We don't see some of the things you see. We don't have those conversations. So for me, I'm also willing to come from the perspective of, we got to speak to the artists, the people that are trying to earn a buck from this thing. Are we holding you back with that? What do you see and how do you feel about that term?
I feel like, first off, I'll say to every soul, their own journey.
Individual stories. 1,000%.
And I would allow anybody
I would respect
facts. Everybody's decision facts. To either be for or be or not be for any movement. Yeah. You understand? But for me, I feel like it's a tag for an expression for the way we make our music. And that is what it is. It's a way, it's like an ID card. You understand? It's like a form of identifying what we do and where we are from. And it's also, to a degree, a collective decision by the Africans or the Nigerians or the culture that, okay, let's move with this, you understand? So me, I choose to respect that collective consciousness and be part of that movement. That's okay. I would boldly and proudly wave this flag.
But you make any other type of music.
But I would make, like, in the midst of this, like, it's not, and I keep telling people, that's the first thing I see about Afrobeats, like, all around the world. I'm like, it's a spirit first. Like, it is the Afro spirit. Whatever we create through that spirit, okay, we have decided to call it Afrobeats. Until we decide otherwise, let's collectively move like this. Mm. But shout out to every other person trying to move now like different. Branch from the spirit. Fact. But it's still one tree. Fact. It's still one root. Whatever we choose to call that root, that is fine by me. That's where me I stand.
I'm with you, man. I completely.
Because I feel like what it's
we're mudding the water.
Yeah, like we're mudding the water. Like now is the time to even educate the world more on what we have and like what light we bring. Because now the whole attention is on us. This is not the time to confuse people. This is the time to teach and show and collaborate and come together and just save this light. If not,
Baba, whether maybe we haven't spoken about it in the past, the second highest streaming nation in the world is currently India. Asia is the fastest streaming. Jeez. And within the next 2 years, are projected to be the number one streaming nation in the world. Mm. That's where, and the record labels and the record business is making exactly the same amount they make per stream in the United States, America, and Europe in Asia, which means Africa is way behind. So if the second highest streaming nation is now starting to give the record business a lot more money, investment will have to go there. And now the love that we're enjoying will have to be transferred to where they're making the money from. So if we don't take care of ourselves and hold this thing together, make sure the business is working right, we might lose that light. That's what I'm telling you. Go do your Googles and see what's going on.
I don't think we will lose the light. I think we will, because I believe in times and seasons.
Yes.
I think there's seed time and there's harvest time. This is seed time. Like, this is the time to walk. Like, this is the time to walk like we've never walked in our lives. Like big love and big respect to what the forefathers have done and what the OGs have done, you know. Big respect. Facts. Like, I don't downplay that at all.
Sonny,
but
all
I understand that
the new generation is moving different.
We need to work harder now. Like, cause now we have the light that
they
we have not
have.
Seen in the
Yay.
In the space.
And we're trying to get.
So we need to make them proud. Facts. In that sense. Like, facts. that's where me I stand on this whole thing. But also, God go help.
Facts.
God deal with us.
Now, you mentioned the EP coming.
Yes, 20, yes.
You know, you had one EP before. Now this is a new EP that's coming. First of all, do we have a title for this EP?
Yeah, it's called Feels Good Too.
Feels Good Too.
Yes, yes.
And is there a theme to this EP? What was the thought process going into creating this body of work for the fans?
Okay, so the first thought process is home. Like, it's me paying homage to where I come from. Like, true homage.
Facts.
Like, is me being unapologetic in front of the world and not trying to sugarcoat where I'm from. And like, is me being proud of where I'm from. That's like, that's the, you know, the foundational feeling that gave birth to the EP. And also is feelings and emotions. Is also a little bit of me trying to heal the world with the sound that, so there are different songs that does that on the EP.
Yep.
There's a song that pays homage to
that,
you. Yeah, you heard it.
I was so proud. Like, I'm like, from the first, the minute the drums hit, I said, nah, this is crazy.
And you,
like,
even heard it, you've not even heard the updated version.
God damn, I said, nah, this is crazy, bro.
Yeah, man. So there's the song that pays homage to where I'm from. There's a song that I made for healing, mainly for healing. There's a song I made for love. There's a song I made for all my ladies in the building, in the tribe.
Now, there's for me, when I listen to Feels music now, even though, like, knowing you as a producer and the amount of different type of hit records you've made, spiritual records, you've made dance floor hits, you've made crowd bangers, you've made all sorts. But when it comes to Feels, you know, the singer, I think there's a high percentage of love records that you there's a strong target for the ladies. Is this just is this the real Feels, or you just decided, listen, man, let me leave all of this bad boy, let's focus on the girls, because that's the energy I get, and that's one of the reasons, to be honest, that I go and listen to your songs.
I mean, let's not get it wrong. I love my ladies. I want daddy's girls. But yeah, shout out to all the ladies, man. Like, but for me, I just really believe in love. Like, I believe love is the answer, and I feel like that in a way seeps through my writing, and like, cause that is what I truly believe. Like, and it's not just boyfriend, girlfriend, or even marriage love. It's true love for your brother and true love for yourself as well. Like, so maybe that's why, like, it seeps through my music, and because every single lyric that I write is a true story. Like I don't.
No way.
I don't like writing. Like if I write fantasies, then it's prophecy. You get me?
But if speaking it's, it into existence.
I'm speaking it into existence. But if I'm not doing that, then I'm saying what is happening now to me, like my life is my truth. Like from electricity to finesse to stand by you to even go low to like there are like moments or experiences or truths about my life that I just put in the music.
Do we have a date for this EP?
It's next month. Dates, you'll May. See very soon, yeah.
It's sometime in May.
Sometime in May.
Now, you just had your first headline gig in London. Please, a round of applause in the studio.
Yes, yes, yes.
That's not a small feat. The Electric Brixton headlined. You had an incredible amount of people in the room. Of course, 70% women, as always, is a Fields event. So we're always going to get that. You had the live band. You had the production set. You had the... First of all, how did it feel to now swap roles and become the headline? I've seen you come here to prepare shows for headliners in the past, where you're working with Olamide, where you're doing things in the background. But how does it feel now to be the one where everybody, the dancers, the manager, the light guy, the, you know, the visual arts, what was that experience like for you to have your own headline show in London, a major market in Afrobeats?
First of all, I would never forget that day. I would never ever forget that show. Cause I love performing. Mm. Being on stage, the stage is my playground. And for like whoever have seen me perform, you understand what I mean. Like I really love performing. So for me, having that show was like one of the check boxes on this journey. Cause I know where I am already here. You get me?
Mm.
And that show just brought me a step closer to where I already am here. It just made me see it here. Like it's like when you know something but you've not experienced it. So that show just brings me closer to all those experiences. Like let me give you one Ojina that I've been doing in this London. So anytime I come to this London, I always make sure there's an Airbnb that I stay in that for some reason, even when I don't make sure of it, I just stay somewhere that I can see the O2 from. And like anytime anytime I wake up and I go to the balcony and I see the O2, it's like a conversation between me and that building because I'm like, I'm coming for you.
One day.
I'm like, I'm coming for you very soon. Like I can see it. Like I can see my name in the light and in the like. That's what I mean by.
I like that.
Up here, I can see all that already. So like that show is just the tip of the iceberg for what is to come. Closer. It's one of the steps closer to that reality.
That's amazing, man. And the show looked amazing. I saw you really having fun playing the different instruments. A field show is completely different to whatever show you've been to before.
Yes.
Because you're getting
speak.
A singer, a producer, an instrumentalist. How many instruments do you play?
Five
instruments.
Yeah.
And you attempt to touch every single one of them
whenever you're on stage. At least three, at least. Because I have my instruments have their own different personalities.
Wow.
So my guitar is called Dirty Diana. Yeah, that's Dirty. They're my girls. They're all my girls. My guitar is called Dirty Diana. My guitar is called Rain because she's purple. Then my acoustic guitar is called Stella. So for the last show, I had Dirty Diana and Stella with me on stage. So I'm going on tour with all of them.
For real?
Yeah.
Do we have any tour dates yet or are we still
Soon
working
come.
That? I know the manager's picking up the phone and making sure everything is everything.
Yes,
And finally, you mentioned, you know, Dirty Diana, Stella, you mentioned, you know, Chopping Breakfast in the past. Has the huge successes made it easier or harder for Fields to find love?
Man, I'm not going to front, man. Harder.
Yeah.
Because
you don't even know the reality now.
You don't even know what true friendship is right now. Talk less of love.
Because
you don't know why people are like.
God damn it.
Because it's like everybody wants to be your friend, but in your head, you're always in that. that mind frame of, do you really though, or is it just because I'm fused? I mean, I don't have anything against just because you are fused, but just yarn me. Yeah, just yarn me. Let me know what it is. You understand? Because the mind is deep, man. My mom always say, Inuji. You understand? Like, you don't really know what is in the heart of a man. I'm like, that almost scares me, but man, I just hide under the grace of God. Everything will be all right.
Facts.
Yeah. Yeah,
and before you go, are there any exciting collaborations, not necessarily as you as a singer, but any exciting studio sessions that you can talk about or you can't talk about?
Shopsy, you know me now. You know me, it's under G till it comes out. And when it comes out, it's always the heaviest.
So, listen, I like the fact that we've kept some, you know, on the G, and when he came out, blew the world. Mm-hmm. So I'll respect that.
Yeah, yeah.
And finally, why were you in Miami, man? What's that?
I know what you're talking about.
Oh no, Mashadu. These are the things. Those are the moments. Yo. When you say, "Feels, Mr. Producer."
Oh, don't kill me.
Yeah, but listen, yo, I've got to say, I'm extremely proud of
that. Was so funny,
bro. Because I'm. When I saw you I saw you at one studio, you were playing basketball. Mm-hmm. There, I see you with the palm trees. I saw, like, you know, beautiful girls around in the dance field. I'm thinking, feels my bad. Feels good.
Oh, man. It feels good.
Miami,
it feels good.
How are you?
It feels good.
Listen, I'm proud of you. It's always, you've got an open door policy here. Anything you want to talk about. Anytime you want to talk, promote anything, the Afrobeats podcast is your home, especially since you're still under the Afrobeats umbrella. Anyway, but listen, I'm looking forward to the EP. I've listened to some of the music. Nothing surprises me when it comes to you. The quality of your music is incredible. The lyrics that you put on it's fantastic. I think you're one of the ambassadors really putting us where we want to be, in the right rooms and having the right conversations. You look pretty damn good, smelling like money all the time. Ladies and gentlemen, please give it up for my brother.
Tribe love. Let's go.
My brother. The Afrobeats Podcast.